Chapter number one, Luke chapter number one. I want to talk to you about a subject that I spoke to the church about, about 5 years ago. I preached on these lines, and I was given some thought this past week, and went back and uncovered some notes and added some things to this. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do tonight. I just want to give you some thoughts. I'm not really going to preach a message to you, but I want to give you some thoughts that I hope you'll take down and take it home, and you will build a message that'll change your life, and it will change your life. God's Word changes lives. It does. And if you'll take in consideration what I'm going to tell you tonight and take it home, it's going to help you. Now, here's what I want it to do. I want it to help you to overcome what I believe is the greatest crippler of Christian faith. Fear. Now, the Bible says in 2 Timothy in chapter number 1 in verse number 7 that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but He's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And God doesn't want us to fear. And I found something very interesting about 5 years ago when I was kind of doing running some references. And I want to share some thoughts with you out of Luke, and we'll be in some other scripture that's fixed around the Christmas season. And I thought it would be very interesting. During the time when Jesus was born, there was a lot of fear in the world. You'd have to go back and study the history. There is a historian that I highly recommend that you read after him that was alive during that time. His name is Josephus. And you can read some of the writings of Josephus, and you can find out some of the history that was current to that year and that time. And then, of course, there's other historians that you can read about. But there was a lot of fear. Rome was to be feared. The Jewish people had not heard from God for 400 years. We call those the intertestament years, or the silent years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There were 400 silent years, and so you could imagine what the condition of the world was. But now listen, God had not forgotten, because the Bible says in the book of Galatians that in the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son. Amen. I mean, God, He knew that the time was going to be right, and it was in every way. Yeah, I've taken it and I've done it here, and we've looked at it politically. We've did it as far as language barrier, the strength of the Greek language in the time that the Lord Jesus, as far as communication, all the Roman roads, and I don't mean the Romans road, Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, I mean the Roman roads for travel were set up. All of these things played a role in the fact that God sent His Son during that time frame for the propagation of the gospel to its fullest extent. What I'd like to show you is the fear that was there in that day, and many of the fears still exist today. Many people during this time of year, though there are songs that say it's the most wonderful time of the year, and you know, all of these jolly songs, there's a lot of people that live their life in depression. They will live their life in doubt, in fear, in misery. And I want to help you not to do that. But now it's going to take a concentrated effort. And you're going to have to apply God's Word to your heart. I want us to look at some things and some conditions that some people were in. And God particularly chose them and said, fear not. I don't want you to fear. And He gave them a way that they could overcome fear. So let's just look at them. That's all we'll do tonight. We won't delve into them in great detail. But you pin down these references and read around these references, and I'll give you the main gist of the thought, and then you build on that, okay? Give you a little foundation for you to build on. Luke chapter number 1, if you're there, Luke chapter number 1, we're going to start out with a man by the name of Zacharias. Now, in verse number 11, this is what the Scripture says. Luke chapter 1, verse number 11, it says, and they're appearing to him. And of course, if you go back, it tells a little bit about Zacharias. And you know Zacharias, Elizabeth was barren. And they had been praying that God would open her womb. Zacharias and Elizabeth had been praying that God would open her womb. And they had become discouraged. And they began to doubt that God was not listening to their prayer. Has that ever happened to you? You ever begin to wonder? We were just talking about in our prayer time how that every man, I think, without fail, had some sort of prayer request for a family member or a family situation. Family's dear to us. Amen. Family's special. I'm glad that God makes it that way. I'm glad that God makes it that way. And sometimes when we pray for family or we pray for individuals, if we're not careful now, we can become weary in well-doing and we'll faint. But the Bible says we're not to grow weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And we need to keep praying. The Bible says that men ought always to pray. Jesus said that in Luke 18, and not to faint. All right? We ought to just keep praying. Pray without ceasing is what the Scripture teaches. Well, Zacharias and Elizabeth have been praying. I don't know how long, but I suspect for many, many years. And God seemingly had not heard their prayer. You ever felt that way? That God's not hearing or something's, you know, there's a disconnect? Well, that's where this family was. And that's where we pick up with the reading. The Scripture says in verse number 11, and there appeared unto him, meaning Zacharias, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not. And now here's our first fear not. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Wasn't that something? You know, God specifically sent down to this man a messenger and said, I want you to know that though you may be growing weary, though you may be beginning to doubt, I want you to know your prayers are heard. Amen. Now you would think that Zacharias would turn cartwheels and say, hallelujah, amen. But that's not what happened. And before we judge him, you remember that oftentimes God gives us confirmation in our heart of some things through the preaching of the word, through the ministry of his Holy Spirit. Amen. And we continue to doubt just like Zacharias did. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the entire account. But if you'll read this, you'll find that even after an angel of God appeared unto Zacharias and said, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God's hearing your prayer. And there's an answer on the way. Now, there's someone here tonight, no doubt, that you're in this situation. Now, you may not be praying for a child as Zacharias and Elizabeth were, but now I will tell you, there are people in this congregation tonight that you were here. There were times that you were praying, God, will you please bless our family with children, and it appeared that your prayer was going unheard. But now look, God has blessed you with children, not just a child, but with children, more than one child. Amen. I'm here to tell you, brethren, that God hears and answers the prayers of his people. And don't you let any devil in hell or any doubting Christian or any unbelieving world tell you any different. God hears and answers the prayers of his people. Amen. I'm excited about that. Amen. You see, I believe that God can do anything he desires to do. And I believe that God is all powerful. And I believe that he cares enough about me and about you to get involved in our lives. God is a God of activity. And he is constantly at work in the lives of his people. Amen. Can I tell you that God that we serve never sleeps nor slumbers. Amen. He's at work now. Listen to me. And he's at work in your situation. Now, Zacharias had begun to doubt. And even he and Elizabeth, their faith was waning. Perhaps you're there tonight. Let me give you some encouragement, all right? You're fearful. Well, maybe I'm not doing something right, or maybe God's not going to answer this prayer. Well, here is some confirmation for you. Notice, if you would, what happened. Now, Zacharias doubted him. Look, if you would, in verse number 18 of chapter 1 of Luke. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Now, here's what's happening in this particular situation. Zacharias is limiting God. Now, I know you've never done that. But this man of faith did. Sure, you've done that. Sure, so have I. But it's not good to limit God. It's not good to doubt God, and it's not good to limit God. We're the losers when we do those things, Right, brethren? We are. And so here was God in this first Christmas, all right? About 6 months before Mary was going to get the announcement, Zacharias and Elizabeth got this announcement, right? You've read this? And he said, fear not. You don't have to be afraid. God knows your situation, and God can do something about your situation. You say, well, I prayed for it. Zacharias and Elizabeth had too. And yet they were doubting. Good people. These are good people, brethren. Good, strong people of faith. And yet they had begun to doubt. And I'm going to tell you, there's always a price to pay for doubt. God doesn't take doubting His word lightly. Notice what He said here in verse number 19. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now you can read this, and the people were, you know, they were wondering what is going on. Zacharias is in the temple. He's been in there so long, he's gone overtime, kind of like I do on Sundays and some Wednesdays. Amen. And what's going on, right? They said that. Now, if you'll look in verse number 23, the scripture says, and it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house, and after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived. Isn't that something? Now what are we to learn from this fear not right here? Fear not. Zacharias, God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't forgotten your request. God hasn't forgotten your need. You wait on God. Be strong and of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. God's going to give attendance to the needs of His people. See, God doesn't always answer prayer in our time and in our way. But God does always answer the prayers of His people in His time and in His way. All right? So here it is. I don't know who this is for tonight, this first one. But you're here tonight and you're doubting. You've been praying about something for many, many months, if not years, and you're beginning to lose hope and you're beginning to doubt. And here's a good word to you tonight. Fear not. God hasn't forgotten you. Just because it hasn't happened according to your time and in the way you thought it would come, that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Now that's a promise from the Bible, brethren, from the Word of God. Fear not. All right, number two, Luke chapter 1. Look, if you would, in verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, I do this every time I read these scriptures because I want you to really get this, all right? I want you to underline the word among. And I want you to take note that it's not above. Mary was not blessed above women. Mary is not the mediator between God and man. There's only one mediator between God and man. Now, I do not say that to slam anybody. I say that to teach you that there's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And I don't apologize for that. I preach what the Word of God says without apology. And I want you to be able with confidence to be sure to know that we don't pray through Mary, through any other. We don't pray through St. Anne. We don't pray through any. We pray in Jesus' name. We pray through Jesus. Amen. To God in Jesus' name. He has given us access unto God our Father. Only Jesus, brethren. Right? Does the Bible teach that? The Bible teaches that. The Bible. And so here the scripture says in verse number 28, not blessed art thou above women, but among women. She was blessed among them. She kept herself pure and God chose her. By the way, this is just one of the many great purposes why all of you young, unmarried ladies should keep yourselves pure. It's just one of many. It's just one of many. Now, verse number 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, now here we go, fear not. Here's our second fear not. These are the fear nots of Christmas. Now what was Mary fearing? Notice what he said. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now I want you to think about something with me just quickly. Here's Mary. And Mary has kept herself pure. Many people believe that Mary was anywhere from between the ages of 16 and 19 when this took place. I can't tell you how old Mary was. I do not know because the scripture does not say. But I am of the belief that she was a very young woman. Okay? Possibly in her teenage years. I'm of that belief. And so here she is. And most young women, no doubt, Mary had grew up in this culture, like many still do today, dreaming of marriage and motherhood and a home and all of these things. And she had met Joseph and they had gotten betrothed, which is engaged. And boy, they had things going on. And then all of a sudden, Mary gets this this load dumped on her that, guess what, Mary? You're going to get to tell this guy that you're engaged to that you're with child, but you've never been sexual with him. That kind of throws a wrench in your plans, doesn't it? You ever get wrenches thrown in your plans? Can I tell you that sometimes life doesn't turn out the way that we expect it to? And this is what this fear not's about, okay? This fear not's when life doesn't turn out the way you expected it to. I can personally assure you, Mary was not expecting this. Mary had it all, you know, listen, you ladies know how it is. You got it all mapped out, right? Meet the man, be with the man, spend some time with the man, marry the man, bear children with the man. Boy, set up, shop. You got it all planned out. But then there comes a visit from an angel, and that just throws a wrench in all of your plans. And can I tell you that sometimes life happens that way. It doesn't go the way that you imagined or you dreamed it or you planned it out. And God sent someone to Mary and said, now, Mary, I can handle this situation. Got something better for you. I got something better than what you dreamed. You think Mary got something better than what she dreamed? It didn't appear that way at first, but let me personally assure you, and if you read the rest of the story, Mary got something better than what she dreamed. Amen. And many times when God disrupts our plans, we think that something worse is going to happen when it's only because God has something better for us. But we're such pessimistic people, we think that, boy, when things don't go the way we planned, it can no way be any better because we really think we know what's best for our lives. Can I tell you, we don't? God knows what's best for my life. And I hope that you get to the place in your life where you will realize He knows what's best for your life too. God knows what's best. God knew what was best for Mary's life. Mary thought what she was doing was best, but God said, no, I've got something better for you, Mary. Now, at first, it didn't appear that way because I don't think that there's any young teenage girl that can't wait to get home and say, guess what, Mom and Dad? I'm pregnant and not married. Right? Boy, that's not something young women look forward to, and they shouldn't. And then she goes to the guy that she's engaged to, and she's going to tell him. And then she's going to tell this story, and no doubt Joseph's thinking, listen, I've heard a lot of stuff, but I don't know now. Who appeared to you and said what? Well, here it is. This is what it says. Don't miss it. Notice if you would. The scripture says in verse number 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I'm pure. I've kept myself pure. I've saved myself for marriage. I haven't been intimately involved. I know not. And that same word is when Adam knew Eve. It's a word that means intimately, sexually involvement. I have not done that. How can this be? And the Bible says in verse number 35, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You say, preacher, this is 2016. Do you believe that? With all of my heart, I believe that. I can't tell you. Listen, I believe the Bible over and over and over again says that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And every time it says it, I believe it. Amen. I believe in the virgin birth, brethren. I believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Why, preacher? Because the Word of God teaches it. That's why. That's why. You say, well, now, we live in 2016. We're so much smarter now. Yeah, yeah, we're smarter, okay. But listen, we're so smart it's dumbed us down. Listen, if you want real intelligence, you believe this book right here. Amen. I don't want to get too smart, and I say that, I use that term loosely, that I don't believe what's written in this book. You couldn't give me enough of doctor's degrees to cause me to think I'm smarter than what's in this book. This book is final authority. I'm going to be judged by what's written in this book. You are too. So here it is. Fear not. So what's this fear not about? Well, you see the kind of the story. And I like what God did to assure Mary. Now, Mary was definitely, we quote this scripture all the time. Actually, I quoted it in our prayer room tonight. Look at verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. What's your situation tonight? I don't think that it could get any more difficult than what Mary was dealing with right here. Now listen, we're on the backside of this and we know what lay ahead for Mary. Mary didn't know. All she had to go on was the word of God from the angel. We know the rest of the story. She didn't when it first came. Can I tell you, if you'll read the rest of this chapter, you'll find Mary worshiping and praising God. Read it. She began to worship and praise God. Fear not. Your situation may be complex. It may look like there's no way out. But God hasn't forgotten you. And God's got good things for you down the road. You stick with God. Don't you quit on God. Oh, listen, when the road gets tough, or there's bumps in the road, and people say, I don't know what I'm going to do, and they get this kind of news, and it seems like it's overwhelming. They quit God, they quit reading the Bible, they quit church. They say that God's against me. Don't you do that. Don't you do that. You stick with God. There's something better for you on the backside of what God's putting you through right here. And we all can sit here today, and we can say, you know what? God had something greater for Mary. And if God has something greater for Mary, God's got something greater for me. Because God is no respecter of persons. Amen. So don't you take the situation just on the front side. You stick with God through this thing, and you'll find out God has your best interests in mind. I can say with David, I was young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen his seed. Listen, the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread. I have stuck with God through the hard times and seen that God had better things waiting for me on the backside. Amen. How about you? If you stuck with God now and didn't bail out, you can say, preacher, the storm was kind of rough, but I can testify to you, Jesus was with me all the way. Amen. All the way my Savior leads me. Fear not. Don't you be afraid that, well, this is too hard for God. Mary got a word of confirmation. There is nothing impossible with God. You believe that? No, I mean really believe it. You believe there's nothing, your situation included? It's not too hard for God. Might be too hard for the preacher now. Might be too hard for the church. Listen to me now. Might be too hard for you. But it's not too hard for God. All right? Number three. Look, if you would, in Matthew. Matthew chapter number 1. We'll come back to Luke, so you hold your finger there and turn to Matthew with me, chapter number 1. And we're going to get the other end of that story with Mary. So Mary got the word. The angel came to Mary and said, fear not. And she had the dubious duty of going in and breaking the news. Well, on the backside of that, there's a just man. Are you in Matthew chapter 1? Look in verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Now, here the scripture says a lot of good things about the character of Joseph. Now, some people say, Joseph don't matter. He wasn't really Jesus' father. Well, I understand that. But now let me tell you something. God was very choosy on who he chose to bring his son into the world, Mary. But he was also very particular on who he was going to choose to be overseeing his son in the days of his youth. He didn't want just anybody. And he got him a just man. Notice what the scripture says about Joseph in verse number 18. Verse number 19 says he was a just man. I find something else about Joseph. Joseph was a very humble and fair man. Notice what the scripture says about him. And not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Now, what does that mean? I wish I had time to go into all of it, but I want to give you just a little bit, and you search it out now. Now, by law, Joseph held Mary's life in his hand. You do understand that. He could have broke the news that Mary broke to him, and she could have been stoned to death under law. You understand that, okay? But he wanted, that's why the scripture says, notice what it said, he wasn't willing to make her a public example. He didn't want everybody gossiping in town about Mary's infidelity. You say, well, Mary wasn't unfaithful. Well, we know that. But now how would you feel if somebody came to you and said, hey, oh, so-and-so, she's pregnant, but don't be concerned, she's still a virgin. That'd give you more to talk about. Wouldn't it? Come on now. And Joseph wanted to do the right thing. Was he angry? I'm not really sure of all the different emotions that went through. Listen, just like Mary had planned all her life for this moment, so had Joseph. And now, suddenly, it all comes crashing down. With one visit from Mary, it all comes crashing down. And Joseph said, you know what? I'm just going to end this, but I'm going to do it respectfully. You know why? He was a man of integrity. And he was a man of character. He could have slandered and went on a smear campaign. We live in those days today where everybody just wants to smear everybody. But thank God for people of integrity. And Joseph said, now I'm just going to put her away privily. I'm not going to make her a public example. Why did Joseph do this? Because Joseph was a man of God. How do I know this? Let's see what the scripture says. Now, he was mindful to put her away now, okay? He thought, I can't carry on with this. See, Joseph didn't know how to take this, and there is an indication here that he wasn't buying what Mary was telling him. You see this, right? You understand what's happening here. Then the scripture says in verse number 20, but while he thought on these things, now, I'm going to be preaching on that, so I'm not going to go into great detail but in the future. But I want you to know something. This tells me a lot about this man. Here's a man that has understood in life things happen that are not always as they appear to be. You've got to think it through. Sometimes if we just on a knee-jerk reaction, you know, just went with how we felt, well, I tell you, we'd get in some deep, deep trouble. But Joseph said, you know, I'm going to think about this. And the Bible says, while he was thinking, look at verse 20. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, look what he said, fear not. You don't have to fear. God hasn't forgotten you. It's not what it appears to be. Now here's the third, this is a word of encouragement to you. I don't know what you're going through, don't know what you're facing. You may be sitting here thinking, man, I'm going to have to get with the in-laws at Christmas. Or I don't have enough money to buy gifts for everyone. Or whatever it may be that you're just thinking that, you know, this is just something that's out of the realm of the possible, and it appears that it's going to be a train wreck and, just shipwreck. But what God wants you to know is not everything is as it appears to be. You need to think it through. Instead of dreading getting with those folks, you might ought to look at it as God's giving you an opportunity to witness to those folks. Quit making everything about you. Why has it always got to be about you? Joseph, no doubt, was hurt when Mary told him. He was disappointed. And as long as he was making it about him, I'm out of here, I'm done, I'm through. But when he started thinking it through, God said, now, Joseph, quit making this about you. You going to trust me, son? I'm going to trust you, Lord. You going to trust me, Joseph? I'm going to trust you. Well, then you do what I say. And I want you to watch this, all right? Watch what happens. Chapter number 2. Now, the rest of this is great. We're going to study the rest of this. But look in chapter 2 just for a moment. Look, if you would, in verse number... Oh, we'll look at verse number 13. And when they were departed, and this is speaking of the wise men, after they had gone and found Jesus with Joseph and Mary, the wise men had departed in verse number 12. And when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed. Joseph is learning to trust God and not go by his feelings and not act on the way things appear to be, but act on the way that God shows him things are. It's a great lesson to learn in life. Because I'm going to personally assure you that every one of us are going to have situations in life that it appears to be one way, and it's not. We've already had that to happen, and we've lived to regret our reaction to it. Watch again what happens. Joseph, now he's learning. He's a young man. God's teaching him. And God wants to teach us some things too. And he's saying, fear not. I've got this. You trust me. You let me guide. Look, if you would, in verse number 19. All right? Look at verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream unto Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose. Joseph is learning to trust God and to trust his word and to let God lead and to follow. Why? Because he thought things through and he realized it's not good to make emotional decisions. It's good to make decisions based on truth and not emotion. Don't you fear when you hear news or something appears to be some way. Calm, collect, trust. One more, verse 22, and then we'll get to our final one, okay? Verse 22. But when he heard that Archelaus, did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. God had led him and guided him, and even when his heart was afraid and he wasn't going to do it, God came to him and he said, I'm going to trust God in spite of fear in my heart. I'm going to go with God. Amen. You ready to do that? You trust God that way? Do you? That wasn't the first one. That was the third one. God has to get you here. All right? God won't start with you here. Trust me. No, trust Him. All right? Let's look at another one here. I turn back, if you would, to Luke, and we'll look at another one, and then we'll be through tonight. I'm trying to help you to see, trying to give you some thoughts on fear not, all right? And all these are built around that first Christmas time. Don't fear. People fear. Well, I'm fearing God's not hearing my prayer. I'm fearing this situation's bigger than God. I'm fearing that this is too complex, and I'm fearing that there's all kinds of fears. Now, this one's for that person here tonight that fears, preacher, I've gone too far. And I fear God has written me off. Well, the very fact that you're here tonight is probably a good indicator that that's not the case. But however, I do realize the devil works on us. right? He's constantly trying to get us to believe that we're less than what we are, that God's weaker than what He is, that God's Word is not what it says. He's always getting us to doubt. And doubt brings fear. All right? Look, if you would, in Luke chapter number 2. Very familiar passage with the shepherds. And oftentimes when we think of shepherds, we think of righteous people, people that are living for Jesus and doing right. But you know, as I studied this passage of Scripture, I'm not sure really how much these shepherds understood and how much they didn't understand about what was taking place this night. There is some indication that possibly these shepherds were keeping sheep that were going to be used. And I was talking with a lady about this after our service Sunday. They were going to be used possibly for the Passover. They kept the sheep that were going to be used in part of the priesthood and the offerings and those types of things. However, shepherds, when you study them in the light of the day in which this was written, they were kind of outcast, social outcast. The Bible says that they were keeping their flock in verse number 8 of chapter 2, the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not." Now you read this sometime, and you'll see where here's a group of men in darkness. All right? And God sent a message to them. It was a message of light. And said, "I've got someone I want to introduce you to." And they introduced him to Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, if there's that person's not here tonight, perhaps this Christmas season, you will get, whether it be with family or friends or a neighbor, and they will be in darkness. And they think Christmas is office parties and drunk fest and everything that goes with secular Christmas. And you don't have to shove it in their face or down the throat, but you be sure to tell them now. You be sure to tell them what this message was. Notice what the message was. "Fear not," verse number 10, "for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be," and I want you to underline that word, "all people." And you be sure to remind them, this is for you. All right? Jesus came for you. Verse number 11, "For unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I want you to write something very interesting in your Bible, or just keep it as a note in your mind. This is the only time in all the New Testament that all three titles of the Lord Jesus are used in the same verse. Savior, Christ, Lord. Search it out. It's the only time in all the New Testament that it's used in the same verse. And each one of these stand for a very special characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's a message to these men who walked in darkness. He came for you. Christmas is for you. Now you be sure to get people that message. There's a lot of people in fear. There's a lot of uncertainty in our world. There's people who they're uncertain about everything. Finances, family, future, government, everything. There's so much uncertainty. But you know, when you live for Jesus and you trust God's Word, we know the way this thing's going to end, don't we? We know. We may not know exactly what's going to take place between now and then, but I will tell you this. One day, all will hail the power of Jesus' name. And let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem, and we'll crown Him Lord of all. This thing's going to end the way that God intends it to end, and that is with every knee bowing and every tongue confessing to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. And because of that, I want to live my life without fear. Brethren, life is brief. It's brief. The Bible says it's like a vapor, James wrote, that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Take full opportunity of what God's given you. Don't live your life in doubt and fear, knee-jerk reaction to every situation and thinking that everything's as it appears or things are too hard for God to work out. I don't know what you're going through. I know this, between now and the new year, and it's going to be here before we know it, there is going to be a myriad of emotion, ups and downs and off and ons and joy and sadness, all kinds of emotion. You want to stay on even keel? Stay in this book right here. This book, as my grandmother used to say, is good for what ails you. This book will get it done, brethren. That really will. I'm going to ask you to stand. In Luke chapter number 2, there was another man that was told, fear not, and his name was Simeon. We looked at him Sunday. You remember Simeon, don't you? When they went into the temple to dedicate Jesus. And he said, now thou can let thy servant die, for mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. He's seen the Savior, the man Christ, the little child Jesus. And I thought about that. I thought, you know, 3 years ago, I could go back longer, but I remember seats that were filled with people that will be celebrating Christmas in heaven. You say, I don't think they celebrate Christmas in heaven. Well, okay, I think they do. You say, well, you can't prove they do, and you can't prove they don't. There's chairs that are empty. Some were even here 2 years ago. Their chair is empty tonight. Some was here last year, and their chair is empty tonight. At your table gathering this year, perhaps a seat at your table will be empty. And while it's okay to long for that one that has gone on to heaven, I think about what the Apostle Paul said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus shall God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Amen. Listen. One day, there's going to be a glad reunion day. But for this Christmas, I have a poem for those of you who will be celebrating the season with someone that you love dearly that has gone on to heaven. I want to share it with you as we close tonight, okay? I see the countless Christmas trees around the world below with tiny lights like heaven stars reflecting on the snow. The sight is so spectacular, please wipe away that tear. For I am spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I hear the many Christmas songs that people hold so dear, but the sounds of music cannot compare with the Christmas choir up here. I have no words to tell the joy their voices bring, for it is beyond description to hear the angels sing. I know how much you miss me. I see the pain inside your heart, but I'm not so far away. We really aren't apart. So be happy for me, dear ones. You know I hold you dear. Be glad I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I send you each a special gift from my heavenly home above. I send each a memory of my undying love. After all, love is a gift more precious and pure as gold. It was always most important in the stories Jesus told. Please love each other as our Father said to do, for I cannot count the blessings of the love He has for you. So have a Merry Christmas and wipe away that tear. And remember, I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. You know, I'm glad the Bible tells us, fear not. Fear not. Don't fear. Place your trust in Christ. All of our hope, all of our trust should be in Jesus Christ. God, help us to do that. Let's bow our heads.